Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Congressman Jim McGovern, I wanted to circle back to where we started the conversation, which was on education. And we've been hearing a lot about student loan reform. This senior senator from your state has made this a pet issue of sorts, and the president has unveiled some new proposals here. What's your take on what needs to be done with student loan debt?
Well, first of all, we ought to allow students to be able to refinance their student loans at interest rates that are at current low levels. I mean, that helps a great deal in terms of alleviating some of the financial burden that students have to deal with because of the loans that they take out. Now, unfortunately, Republicans in the Senate, are threatening a filibuster, and so they're having difficulty getting that kind of legislation to the Senate floor for a vote. But again, why anybody would be opposed to, lowering the interest rates on student loans is beyond me. Why that is such a political hot potato with the Republicans, I just don't get. But I think we need to be figuring out how we can make it easier for students to get the resources to be able to get a college education without having them be in such enormous debt. And what Elizabeth Warren proposed was one step in that direction. Obviously, more needs to be done. We need to expand, not just loans, but grant aids, grant aid as well. I remind people that one of the reasons why this country is, an economic superpower was because after World War II, we passed the GI Bill of Rights, and we helped, pay for education for all these returning veterans. And I think that had an enormous impact on our economic growth. It made us into an economic superpower. We need to learn from that, and I think government overall ought to be investing more in education to offset the overall costs. And it's more than just about loans, and again, it's more than just about controlling the interest rates on loans. I think government ought to be more involved in directly subsidizing, at least a part of everybody's education, because it really is in the long-term interest of this country. It's like medical research. You invest in medical research to find cures, which, again, not only improve people's lives, but save a lot of money. Investing in education in general, makes people more marketable. They can compete better in this global economy. And the more jobs we can create here, the stronger we become as a nation, and the more we can, pay down our debt. So we need to be thinking boldly and out of the box on how we can make sure that everybody who wants to get an education can get one.
You've brought up the GI Bill, so let's jump to the VA. We've been seeing a rash of issues in recent weeks, and Congress has been holding some hearings on the state of the VA. You hear something like the fact that scheduling for veterans' medical appointments is taking place on software, written in the 1980s or something, and you just kind of wonder how we can get ourselves out of this mess.
Look, this is fixable. Part of what we need to do is make sure that there are enough doctors in the system to be able to take care of all our veterans. Doctors who work at the VA earn less than doctors who work in private hospitals. We need to make sure that we need to make sure that there are enough doctors in all different kinds of fields to take care of our veterans, number one. Number two, those people out in Arizona who cooked the books and were guilty of fraud, they ought to be fired. And quite frankly, I think what they do is criminal. That kind of behavior of we have bureaucrats that hide the facts and cook the books cannot be tolerated, just for the integrity of the system. The other thing is we need to look at the system from top to bottom. How do we make it work better? If a veteran has to wait longer for an appointment, then maybe we ought to give that veteran a voucher to be able to go to a private hospital, and be able to go to the doctor he or she needs to go to and get the care that they need. I do not believe that, these private hospitals are a substitute for the VA health system, because a lot of the issues that veterans have are very unique to them, and we need to make sure we keep that specialized field. But But if there's, you know, but we cannot tolerate our long waits. You know, when you need to see a doctor, you need to see a doctor, not, you know, months from now, but you need to see a doctor in a reasonable time to make sure that whatever is wrong with you, you can get fixed. So this is all fixable. It requires some shakeups, and Congress is moving toward trying to address some of these issues. But, you know, we also need to learn from the Inspector General's report that's going on to look at the system from top to bottom, and where there needs to be improvement, we just ought to act. And quite frankly, again, we need to make sure the VA is adequately funded as well.
I want to get you on Bo Bergdahl, the prisoner swap. Where do you come down on this one?
I agree with the president. I mean, I don't know the story of Bo Bergdahl, but, you know, I do believe in the principle we leave no man or woman behind. I mean, I feel strongly about that. And I'm a little bit of, I'm a lot offended by some of the commentary, you know, where he is being already judged, you know, when we don't even know all the facts about what he went through or why he strayed away from his base. But I mean, people are just presuming that he's guilty of something. You know, let's wait to find out the facts before everybody jumps to a conclusion. But our policy in this country has always been, and should always be, that you leave no person behind, you know, especially somebody wearing our military uniform. And, you know, what we're learning bit by bit is that this was a troubled young man. And, you know, there may have been multiple issues why he strayed from the base. I will tell you this, as someone who's visited our troops over in Iraq and Afghanistan on a number of occasions, and have talked to a lot of veterans who returned, you know, it is hard service to be deployed in Afghanistan. And the things that people are seeing over there, you know, have lasting impacts on our soldiers. And so we need to understand that, you know, these men and women are put in difficult situations, and, you know, and we ought not to judge their actions. I'm glad that he's been, you know, he's back. I think the president also is acknowledging that, you know, we're going to have to close down Guantanamo at some point. You know, I think the existence of Guantanamo, quite frankly, is a black eye on our human rights record. I mean, we don't, yeah, this is, we get people being held incommunicado with no charges, you know, who aren't even brought before courts, and they're just kind of there. I quite frankly do not believe that's keeping with our traditions or our principles. You know, this, we ought to wind this war down. I want to wind it down quicker than the president does. And we ought to shut down Guantanamo and throw away the key.
I got just about a minute left. We're speaking on the eve of the State Democratic Party convention. It's a state that has often voted Republican in the governor's position, despite being overwhelmingly blue. What's your take on what's at stake here in November for state Democrats?
Well, I think there's a lot at stake. I mean, we have some good candidates, obviously, and I'm happy to support any one of them who wins the nomination. But you know, Charlie Baker is going to be a tough opponent. There's no doubt about it, and so we need to be engaged again. Remind people what we're for. And also remind people, you know, how this, our state has actually done pretty well in the face of one of the worst national economic crises since the Great Depression. You know, I'm going to speak at the convention, and I'm going to use my opportunity to launch this campaign, which I call Declare Hunger Illegal. And basically, I'm going to ask people to follow us, you know, on our Twitter account, and you know, and share ways and learn about ways to end hunger. I mean, one of the things that I believe that activists, whether you're Democrats or Republicans, ought to realize is that being an activist means more than just coming to a convention and voting for somebody. It also means you got to do something every single week of your life to help make your community better. And I believe that we can lead the way in Massachusetts to end hunger in Massachusetts, and hopefully that'll be contagious and other states will follow.
Congressman Jim McGovern, Massachusetts 2nd District, a Democrat in office since 1997. Congressman, not a lot of people like reapportionment and redistricting, but I do, because it means that it brought you to us here on the Congressional Corner program. And I appreciate you speaking with me in for Alan Shartok as well.
Well,
it's been a pleasure.
Look, A lot of these communities are new to me, but I'm loving them all. I mean, I've learned a lot, and I really appreciated the advice and the input, and also the quality of political discussion. You guys take your politics seriously, and so do I, and I'm really happy to be out there with you guys.